Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 647, Deja Vu, recorded live on September 6th, 2018. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And after about 30 minutes of troubleshooting, we are finally live, back from PAX, at least for me.
I didn't go.
No.
Because I'm broke.
Well,
and there was no Halo there, so.
That's true. There was one piece of Halo gear at the Xbox booth, but that doesn't really count.
Doesn't actually qualify for the purchase. Although, hopefully next year everything will go right and I can go.
Hopefully, yeah. I think there's going to be lots of things coming Halo's way for next year. If the what everyone's thinking Halo's going to come out with 2020, that means hopefully 2019 is going to be kind of that introductory year where we start getting a lot of waves of information about Infinite.
Yeah,
we'll have to see how that goes.
I just hope we get something between now and the ramp up for Infinite. Because if not, it's going to be quite the dry spell.
Like news wise or like other...
Like game wise, you know, honestly, I really don't care if it's another top down shooter. Just something.
What? I don't know if they... would have anything in the pipeline for that. I mean, I guess it would be kind of cool. I don't know if Fireteam Raven counts for them as, hey, this is a new Halo experience or whatever, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, it does, but your average Joe isn't going to run down to Dave and Buster's every day to play Raven.
Especially not when it costs about $25, $30 to play every time. I still need to go and actually play through the whole thing, start to finish.
I need to go play it, period. Although I have watched, you know, there's been several people that have recorded the entire campaign and, you know, put it up on YouTube, and it looks really good. It looks like it's a lot of fun.
I wish there was some kind of way you could actually, like, record that in not a cell phone video format, like get a direct dump of it or something.
Yeah, if they had, like, a HDMI port you could plug into or something.
Yeah, some kind of like, well, I mean, even if you had like an integrated, I guess, capture device or something, and you had a USB that you could plug in and maybe it would start going. I don't know. I don't know if that would appeal it to anybody, really.
No. I mean, to content creators, yes. Your average Joe, I doubtful. Because, I mean, you know, most people aren't wanting to drag a laptop and a capture card there to... capture gameplay.
Well, even if you did, I don't think they would have HDMI ports out, and you'd have to capture two screens.
Exactly.
Or there would have to be something in the back end that would condense that down into one, I guess, 4K video, and even then you'd have to have a really fast USB to hold a lot of that storage. So
yeah,
I mean, it's a cool idea. It's just
it's not that practical. No.
Yeah, because 8K worth of video, right? No, not technically.
Well, each...
two 4Ks.
Yeah.
I guess it would be 8K. Yeah. It's not double that way. It's just double the pixels. So yeah, 8K worth of video, which is a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah.
A lot of bandwidth.
Yeah, the if they were going to do or make that something available, the most we could probably see is a way, you know, a way to attach a capture card to the machine.
Yes.
I doubt they would integrate any kind of capture device.
Probably not.
Just from sheer cost.
Sure. I mean, that's a capture device and a capture processor in a way for every single one of those that's out there.
Yeah. You know, they would have to... Well, you know, I mean, technically, you probably would have to have two capture devices, and then there'd have to be probably another small PC in there to combine the video to output it to some type of storage drive that is accessible via the customer. So, yeah, I don't see it happening. Be nice, don't get me wrong, but I don't see it happening.
We'll get a little more into PAX shenanigans since I was out there for this past weekend. As we always do, though, I guess let's do a quick catch-up on streams. So since we recorded last, you have had, I guess, two separate Frag and Friday streams.
Mm-hmm. And we had lots of fun on both of them.
That's good.
We missed you last week.
Aw, thank you.
Not really, but I just say that.
I appreciate the sentiment.
We've been getting into a little bit more customs. We actually played some Rochambeau last week. Week before, we tried out a new... No, we haven't tried that one yet because I haven't had enough people. It's more a 12, 16 player type deal. And the last couple of weeks been kind of light because, you know, other Halo things happening. So, you know, PAX, and then the week before it was tournaments and things like that. So
is it one of the new ones?
It's a concept I've seen before. I don't know that it's a duplicate of the one that I saw before, but it's pretty close to Invasion.
Okay, because I know you mentioned you were going to redo your bookmarks.
Yeah, I did. And I found last week that I missed a couple, so I'll have to go through and find those and make sure I get them bookmarked. But no, I actually found... via YouTube, iSpiteful featured this game type, and for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it. I apologize to the creator because it's not fair to them, but it's similar to Invasion. You have an attacking team and a defending team, and you have to basically capture zones and plant bombs to win the round. I think it'll be a lot of fun. We just need to get, you know, as soon as it's just 4-on-4. It's just the map's too big. You know, for me, from what I've seen, 6v6 is probably the minimum. I want to wait until we get, you know, a large party to try that one out.
So did you have any more of your own personal streams for MCC? I know you were doing that a little bit during the Insider.
No, I did the Insider stream. And I pushed that out to the Podtacular channels as well as my own. But I have been otherwise involved in something else for the past couple weeks and I haven't had the opportunity to stream, but I have an idea that I've been working on that I have to talk with Dust on. So maybe there'll be some more MCC in the future.
Cool. Any Achieving Halo stuff or is this different stuff?
Different stuff.
Okay.
A lot of it's different games and personal stuff that I've been having to take care of.
Very nice.
You know, every once in a while, I do need to kind of back off of Halo for a little while.
Sure.
This last Friday, I unfortunately let the game get under my skin, and I got really frustrated. So I've been kind of staying away from Halo for about a week and a half now, so.
Okay.
Just to try to let that cool off. But one thing is, if the lobby wants to play MCC on Frag and Fridays, let me know. And we can do it.
We'll put up a poll after the podcast.
You know, you can hit me up on Twitter, hit the Podtacular account. And, you know, let us know if you guys want to run an MCC night on Frag and Friday, let me know. Like I said, it's lobby's choice on what we do. We can do anything but Halo 3.
As you realize, half the community's probably favorite multiplayer is Halo 3.
Okay, there will be limits to Halo 3.
Okay, sounds good. So for my streams, I haven't really been streaming at all. There is a couple of reasons for that. One being in PAX, so I didn't have a chance to stream this past weekend, and I just got back late Tuesday, so I wasn't even back in time to stream our campaign stream with the wife. There's also the Tuesday before I was packing, and by the time I had some free time, it was already getting too late, because when she's teaching, she needs to be in bed kind of around 9, because she has to get up at like 5:30 in the morning, which is pretty dang early. So we didn't do the streams for the last 2 weeks, and for this week, coming week, though, we should be back into it, so we'll be playing Two Betrayals on Halo CE. And I think what we're going to do is, once she finishes playing it through herself, going to have her watch me play through it, and that way she can get the full story aspect of the first game. Yeah. And it'll just kind of go back and forth between the two. So we'll see how it goes. She's enjoying it so far, at least for the most part, until she gets stuck in a corner somewhere, and I have to kind of give her some hints every once in a while. But she's
like, turn left. Turn left. Right. No, your other left, huh? Like,
nope. Come find me. Come find me. Look for doors. Look for clues. Are you going in the direction of enemies? That's the way you want to go.
Look for red dots.
Well, Two Betrayals is going to be interesting because you're basically going backwards. You're going out the way you came in.
But still, follow the red dots.
Yes.
That is one thing about Halo games. It's pretty easy to figure out where you need to go. Just find the red dots.
If you're finding enemies, then most likely you're going in the right direction. I'm trying to think of an instance where that isn't the case in Halo. Other than taking shortcuts, which those are kind of...
Yeah, well, if you're on the intended path, let's put it that way.
Sure. Right, agreed.
Yeah, I don't think I've come across a mission where that doesn't apply.
I don't know, does anyone else think of that? I guess. I don't know. So we'll be back so we'll be back to that on Tuesday. I'll be doing achievement streams again on Sundays. I will be diving into MCC, trying to get par score and par times. I think this is going to be the latest thing I'm going to go for. I also need to start watching videos for Lazo, because that's going to be a pain in the butt.
Good luck with that, Nest.
Thanks. There's also a couple multiplayer ones I need to get as well, like getting King of the Hill medals, CTF medals, all that kind of stuff in matchmaking. So got to work on some of those as well. That might be a good thing for Fragment Fridays, is maybe picking a couple of the playlists to help achievements.
Could.
Possibly. We'll see what the consensus is on that. I believe that's all the updates for the streaming stuff, so let's go ahead and jump on into actual news.
We have news!
We have quite a bit of stuff to talk about now. Yay!
It only took them 2 weeks. No.
There's actually some news that came out right after we recorded last.
Yeah.
So we are catching up on some news, so some of the stuff is probably going to be old news to some of our listeners, but bear with us. We haven't talked about it on the podcast, so we're just going to catch up and get up to speed on everything. Diving off on the thing that came out right after we recorded the show, maybe this was it right before the show or right after the show, I can't remember, but Halo has their own Discord now, and it was an interesting launch, needless to say. Lots of people coming out of the woodwork and lots of people getting banned really quickly.
That does not surprise me.
It has since calmed down quite a bit. I think for the most part, all the conversations have been civil. There's not nearly as many bans going on now. The mod chat is now just the mods talking amongst themselves. And there's plenty of other resources in there. They have plenty of voice channels for general discussions, HCS viewing, fire teams, squads, all that kind of stuff. I believe, I think they are partners, so discord.gg/Halo, I believe will get you there. If not, just check social media and you can find it. There's over 6,000 people on the Discord right now, I think. You can see. Nope. Never mind. I thought it was a lot bigger than it is, but it turns out it's... Well, let me see who's offline. I'm trying to see what the count is.
Well, it probably was there before the banhammer started showing up.
Well, there's 2,300 online. I'm not seeing who's offline. Maybe there's just too many people in there for it to say. Regardless, there's quite a lot of people in the server.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to stumble on in over there, then be their guest and go ahead and take a look at it. There's actually quite a bit of people talking constantly. It's probably every 5 seconds there's a new message in one of the channels somewhere. So it's active. And at least people are now kind of civil and level-headed and aren't...
being stupid.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, check out the Halo Discord. There also is support sections over there. So just like Twitter, forums, Reddit, you can look for help over there. They also have some places that will... they'll post if there's service outages or whatever. So it's just another way that they're trying to engage with the community, which is pretty nice. Spartan Shatter over in our Mixer chat says he's jumped in over to the voice channels from time to time, and it's nice to be able to talk to other Halo fans. Haven't done that yet, but I need to, just whenever. There's no one on there right now, actually, which is surprising. I usually see people in the voice channels, but there's not anyone over there at the moment. And yes, Spartan Lazo sucks. But I want to get the achievements, so it's going to be a long road. A long and windy road.
Yeah, I think last time I actually made a Lazo run, which was in Reach, it took me 2 hours to complete the level.
Just one level.
That's just one level.
It's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I had to... Well, nice thing in Reach is if you were quick enough, you could load the last checkpoint and you're okay.
Yep.
You know, it as long as you were fast enough that it didn't register your death and restart the level. So there was a couple of times during that I did that, and then I went and hid somewhere and took a break.
I wonder if that actually would work on MCC. Might have to give it a try.
I don't know. I don't even know if it gives you the option to go to last checkpoint.
Only one way to find out.
Yep.
Okay, moving on into our first article. That's So Raven. Nice Disney series throwback there, Grim. This article is focusing on Fireteam Raven, because this article came out about 2 weeks ago, and is going over the timeline and some of the backstory behind the members of Fireteam Raven, and a little bit more info on the Covenant and the Flood, mostly for people that are kind of new to the scene. And there's actually quite a bit in here, which I don't know if you have ever had, a timeline of the events of Halo kind of drawn out in a date format, but they actually went through the effort of specifying what dates were events took place on during the events of Halo CE in this update. And I don't know if I've seen that anywhere before.
Not outside the books, no.
This is a great kind of summation to show how quickly the events of Halo took place, because sometimes it's hard to get a sense of time in the game. We know it kind of probably took place really quickly, but we know from just this article that it took place within 4 days, the whole game. And this also ties into where the book and Fireteam Raven fits within the timeline. So I took a couple notes, something I thought would be interesting to kind of go through. There are 6 missions in Fireteam Raven. There's 10 missions in Halo CE. And the missions in Fireteam Raven line up with certain missions in Halo CE, and by proxy, certain stories within the Flood book. So just a couple of things I pulled out that I thought was interesting to note. September 19th is the date that Halo CE starts. It's when the Covenant are assaulting the Pillar of Autumn by the Halo Ring. The escape takes place during the Pillar of Autumn mission, so it's the very first mission of Halo CE. Rubble takes place during the Silent Cartographer, so this is after the Chief rescues Captain Keyes from the Truth and Reconciliation. That's a second, or Yeah, second mission, that was rubble. Third mission is Alpha Base. And this is where the Flood Book kind of diverges the main Major Silva squad of Marines and the Master Chief story. And this mission actually takes place pretty close to the events of 343 Guilty Spark, where Master Chief discovers the Flood. And part of Alpha Base is Fireteam Raven retreating because of a new enemy, which we find out is the Flood. The next mission, Ice Canyon, takes place during two betrayals. So this is after the Master Chief has encountered 343 Guilty Spark and has retrieved the Index, and Cortana has stopped the rings from firing. Fireteam Raven is actually directed to help Master Chief kind of break out of the situation that he's in and continue on his mission to stop Guilty Spark from firing the rings. Raven Down takes place during the Keys mission. This is where Master Chief's going to get the neural implant from Keys or try to rescue him. Raven Down takes place during that. And then Last Stand takes place during the very last mission of Halo CE during the Maw, which they're trying to make way for Master Chief to complete his mission to destroy the Halo Ring. So that's a very quick run through of the events of Fireteam Raven. A lot more detail in the article, That's So Raven, so go on over and check it out. But I thought those were some interesting things to pull out just from a timeline perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of helps you place the, fit the story in with Halo CE.
And, I think so.
The book, The Flood.
Halo CE is on Talk Like a Pirate Day? What? Kevin's saying something in the Mixer chat, and I'm not sure what he's referring to. But okay. A couple other things on the article to note. There's some, I think these are a little more in-depth behind each one of the characters. So Ethan Graves being the blue ODST, Ava Lang being the purple one, Marcus Hudson being the orange one, and Victor Ramos being the green one. We had a little bit of a backstory behind some of these before, but Grimm kind of consolidates this all together and provides a little more detail into how all the ODSTs actually joined the Marines and became part of Fireteam Raven. And there's also a little bit in there about Major Silva, who we actually get to read about a lot in the Flood book. But there's a little bit of a backstory that Grimm provides here for those who haven't read it. And then a little note about Wellesley, who is actually a dumb AI. He's not a smart AI, which I found a little interesting. So he's not one of the smart AIs like Cortana or Black Box or Roland.
Well, seeing that he's contained in a drop pod, that doesn't surprise me.
We mean contained in the, well, okay, yeah. Typically, how's in the drop pod? Yeah.
Yeah. A smart AI like Cortana requires a relatively large network to inhabit. And they actually make mention of this in The Fall of Reach, of the computing capacity of the Mjolnir armor. And at the very beginning of Halo CE, you also hear Cortana make a comment that basically the infrastructure of the suit is not that much different than the Pillar of Autumn. So being in a drop pod, I'm sure that it has limited computing capability. So the AI that they would put in there would be very purpose built.
Sure.
And they even go in here, and the way they describe him, he was purpose built to do what he does. He's a logistical AI. He knows how to, operate the, point defense cannons and things like that. But he's doesn't have the capability to, free think like a smart AI does.
So if you want to learn more about all the major characters in the story, make sure you check out the article. There's also some information about the Flood and the Juggernaut. And Grimm gives some more resources for people to check out if they're interested in more lore behind it, if you're just kind of getting into Halo. From the universe encyclopedia section of Waypoint. So Unity Drop Pods, ODST, Alpha Halo, The Flood, Unity Pillar of Autumn, and The Covenant are all articles that he recommends you to check out. So check out the article over on Halo Waypoint. Now we'll cover the first one. Second one is the MCC update has finally hit the retail version of the game. So everyone who did not have the opportunity to be in the Insider or didn't want to be in the Insider, all the testing that the Insiders did for 343 to help identify bugs and other issues with the game has finally hit the retail version, and the numbers have jumped pretty high with the inclusion of MCC into Game Pass, which just happened this past Saturday. So welcome to all of our new MCC members. If you're listening to the show and are new to MCC, then hop on in. There are plenty of opportunities to play, and it sounds like we might be getting a couple of play dates in here with MCC on the Podtacular side. A couple of big things to note that has changed. Obviously, being included in the Xbox Game Pass is going to hopefully make the population numbers bigger, which it already seems like it has. There are enhancements for Xbox One, including content updates that will get things up to 4K, not necessarily 4K in all circumstances, but up to 4K UHD. And there are HDR and SDR video settings that you can play with in the Halo MCC settings menu. Matchmaking has been significantly improved. Matches are happening within seconds. Actually was matching up with Green Skull for a game right before coming onto the podcast today, and we were matching up probably within 3 seconds. But it was also restarting the searches a lot quicker. Like we were searching for, I think, maybe about 20 to 30 seconds before the game restarted the search. So I don't know if they're trying to be aggressive just to make it to where that's not being stale or what. And we were also searching Big Team, so I don't know if they were trying to match party size or what. But regardless, the matchmaking experience is significantly better.
Yeah, I did get in and played some of the matchmaking on MCC after the update was installed, all 73 gigabytes of it. And granted, this was before it hit Game Pass, so population was still standard MCC or even less. But I think my longest wait time was maybe a minute to find a game. But once that was my first game of the night. And once I found a game, then the next games, they just boom, 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 boom. Just one right after another. It wasn't taking long at all.
I know for before the patch, there were times where you would wait up to 5 minutes to find a match. Significant improvements all around. I don't think there is really that many people complaining about the matching issue. I know there are a few, but I think for the most part, a lot of people are very satisfied with the improvements.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get. We also have offline LAN support finally in MCC, so you can actually hook up 4 Xboxes and play on a local network. You still have to be connected to live in order to sign into your Xbox, but the actual game network connections will only be within your local network, so you can host and join LAN games. Almost the traditional LAN experience, but as close as it's going to get on Xbox.
Yeah, unless you set up like an offline profile.
Well, I don't think there is such a thing as an offline profile on Xbox One.
Thought you could do a profile without actually assigning it a...
Only on 360. Only on 360. That's the whole like always on thing. Now, I don't know if maybe...
Well, no, wait a minute. You can actually put the Xbox in offline mode and still sign into your Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's kind of a pain in the butt.
Sure. Most Xboxes are connected to the internet at some point. as long as you have a valid account on there with the, I guess, license downloaded to play the game, then you can just turn on all the Xboxes and go for it. And you can sign in guest accounts on the local Xbox and you can play that way. You can't have like the custom names that you have on 360 or original Xbox, but you still be able to play. So there is that. Intelligent delivery, for those who have not been listening to the podcast or being paying attention to the insider updates, lets you choose which game elements you want to have installed. So there are 9 different elements you can choose from. There is Combat Evolved campaign and multiplayer, Halo 2 campaign and multiplayer, Halo 3 campaign and multiplayer, Halo 4 campaign and multiplayer, and Halo 3 ODST campaign. Now, this is something that was not necessarily addressed in this particular article, but since it's related, I'm going to say it anyways. For those who had played the game, I believe it was for the first 2 months of MCC, because of all the issues they gave ODST to everybody that had played or had logged into the game up until, I think it was December 29th of 2016? 2015? 2016. No, it came out in 2015. That's right. So they are actually offering ODST to be purchased for MCC for $5. So for those who do not have ODST and want to be able to play it, now you can do so. And I don't have the link handy, but I'll make sure I add it into the podcast post when I find it. So that's cool. Hopefully a lot of people will get in on that. We also have a couple of audio and text language options. There is a list of different language options that you can select from for both text and audio. So that shouldn't be an issue anymore. Faster load times in general, not just on Xbox One, but across original Xbox and Xbox Slims, kind of improving their content delivery system within the game. Updated menu, which is one of the first things that they showed off. It's now a vertical menu on the left side instead of a horizontal kind of flow down menu than it was before. And the menu is a lot snappier. It reacts a lot more quickly now.
Yes, much quicker.
A whole lot quicker. The ranks have been cleared because of all the playlist changes that they have made. And the current playlist, I checked this before we started the show. I actually did something ahead of the show for once. More playlists are going to be added, but the current set of playlists right now are Big Team Battle, Halo 3 Big Team Battle, Social Slayer, Team Action Sack, Halo 3 Lone Wolves, Halo 4 Team Arena, Halo 3 Team Arena, which is ranked, Halo 2 Anniversary Team Arena, which is ranked, Halo 2 Classic Team Arena, which is ranked, Halo CE Team Arena, Halo 3 Team Doubles, which is ranked, Halo 3 Team Hardcore, which is ranked, Halo 2 Classic Team Hardcore, which is ranked, and Halo CE Team Doubles, which is ranked. Quite a few playlists, and there is the one Halo 4 Team Arena playlist in there for those that were not happy that there was not originally a Halo 4 playlist being offered, but there is one, so every game has a playlist. Community feedback stuff. They're taking feedback for the MCC update on 3 different threads. So there's a campaign thread, a multiplayer thread, and a miscellaneous thread in the forums. You can also sign up for the Halo Community Feedback Program by going to aka.ms/HCFP signup. That's Halo Community Feedback. But there's the recently released, or I guess made public, Discord server. There's still Twitter and subreddits, and then they also have opened up a Trello page, or have made it public, and that's where 343 themselves are tracking or identifying and tracking issues and looking at feature requests. So you can actually go and see what they're working on, and for some of them you can see updates to what they've made. So take example this known issue, game crash unlock workaround. So there's description and there's ways to resolve it. This one particularly is something with ODST. So a little thing to note, if you are updating MCC and you were actually the ones that one of the ones that have ODST beforehand. There's a 10 meg ODST, I guess, kind of like authorizer token type of thing that you have to have installed before you can start MCC. So even though you might be updating MCC first and then might have the ready to start, unless you have that ODST file, it will actually crash and will not start. So that's one of the workarounds that they've identified. And you can see other things that has been reported by the community that they have maybe have workarounds for, or maybe they have seen the report and they're logging it and it's something that they're going to work on and provide updates to. So that's something that is worth checking out. As part of the people that participate in the Insider Program, they are working on some custom nameplates. They'll say MCC Insider for everyone that participated, and then there's some special MVP ones that have kind of the little vine leaves on the side of them. So for everyone that was involved with the MCC Insider, you get to show a little flair if you so choose. Oh, there it is. So down here, there's the link for the ODST piece available for $4.99 USD. So for those that are in the Mixer in the Twitch chat, I will go ahead and post them there. Misa was asking, when is the nameplate coming? They do not provide a date. They said it's something that they're working on. They're putting the finishing touches on. I wouldn't be surprised, or I'd be surprised if it was more than a week. I'm guessing it's probably going to be coming next week, if not the week after at the latest, because the couple of concepts that they have up there look pretty sharp as it stands. So I don't know what more they're working on trying to finish it, but they're not quite there yet. I did check on my build today to see if they were there, and they weren't quite there yet. And at the bottom of this update, there's a lot of patches and bugs and known issues. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
You want to just... I figure we should just probably go over the updates and the known issues.
Hopefully they don't generate new ones.
Right. We'll leave the bug fixes to those who are interested in reading them, because there's about 10 for campaign, about 20 for multiplayer, about 10 for customs, forge, and films, about 20 global, and then probably about 10 to 15 for each game specifically. So you want to read out the update pieces? We already talked about the new features, so just kind of the three update sections. Or do you have the thing open? He's working on it, I think. You want me to just do them?
Sorry, my sound disappeared there for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't hear what you said.
Cut that out. I was just going to say we could go over the updates from the bottom section there. Just the networking updates, menu updates, and global updates.
Sure.
You want to read those out? Or you want me to?
Go ahead.
Okay. All matchmaking games run on dedicated servers. Yay!
Yay!
They're actually, I believe, using the Azure services across the world globally, which is good. Updated network transport layer. Yay! They're using the new networking code on Xbox, not the old stuff that they launched with, basically. Round-to-round matchmaking, which means you do not have to rejoin your party or restart matchmaking. It'll just start you into the next round of matchmaking.
Which is so nice.
That was one of those things that's like, how did that not make the original game? But then again, there's lots of questions like that for MCC.
Yeah, why was it so broken? No.
Yeah. Improved party stability and host migration, which means you shouldn't be getting too many black screens when someone joins or leaves a game. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Updated rank matchmaking logic. And this is in reference to the way Halo 3 did it, where it starts off with the range of 1 away, 3 away, 5 away, and then 10 away. And it will go no more than 10 away of your rank in matchmaking. So that's good.
So, yeah. Hopefully it's better than what Halo 3 had.
Well, it's almost modeled exactly out of the Halo 3.
Yeah, because I was playing people that were definitely more than 10 levels above me. Not as often as in Halo 2.
So I think there was something in Halo 3 where if it took a long time to search within that 10 range, it just searched unlimited. And I think that was an update that was made later on when the population size dwindled, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, this was the first 6 months of the game.
Oh.
I had that problem throughout my time playing Halo 3 and my time playing Halo 2. Although in Halo 2, it was a lot worse. There was multiple times I was put up against 50s. And these are games that were searched and found in under 30 seconds.
Were these social games or ranked games? And did you also...
Actually, it was worse than social.
So there was also an option in Halo 3 to either find games quickly, balance it between quick and skilled, or find games that were targeted skilled, but that might take longer.
Yeah. I always picked the skill.
Interesting.
Yeah. I had issues with it. Granted, it wasn't as bad as Halo 2, so it wasn't every game. But still, always coming across. I would probably get at least 1 to 2 50s a night playing. Which, I mean, it was fine. I just, I would go post up in a corner and just take kills wherever I could get them.
Taking pot shots.
And stay the hell away from them. But I hope they've refined the code to where that does not happen. And honestly, I don't really care what the population is. That shouldn't happen.
The only other thing I could think of is if he was a 50, like 50 was his max rank, and for some reason you were seeing the max rank instead of his playlist rank. That's the only other thing I can think of. Which
displays the playlist rank right there on the screen.
Yep.
So it's kind of hard to miss.
Service, yeah, because I think the service record is where you see the max rank.
Right.
I don't know.
But
I don't know.
You know, it's
hopefully it's better though.
Like I said, hopefully it's better now.
Yes.
With the additional computing power that they're throwing at it, I think it'll be a lot better.
I certainly hope so.
But if I start seeing 50s, then I will probably start doing something different.
Yeah.
I mean, anymore, I actually play ranked playlists because it's a fairer game.
Yeah.
It's a more evenly matched game than playing social.
Yeah, ideally.
Well, in social, rank isn't weighted as heavily. The player skill on each team doesn't factor into the match as much as it does, well, like it does in ranked play.
Sure. I see what you're saying.
So, it does try to balance the teams. So if you've got a high-ranked person on one team, it tries to put a high-ranked person on the other team to try to balance that out. The problem is I'm always the one that finds that high-ranked person on the other team. Because I, spawn in front of them, and they kill me, and then they move to the next spawn, and I spawn there, and they kill me, and it just gets frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Well, this next one should also make a lot of people happy. Join in progress for custom games.
Yay!
Like it should be. Dedicated server optimizations and LAN enablement. Onto the menu and UI updates. New title screen. New main menu. Options refresh. Network settings, audio settings, controller settings, message of the day updates, and HDR SDR settings. Global updates, load times, and texture streaming optimizations. Basically means everything loads quicker. And campaign playlist and save bug fixes. And then bug fix. I can't say that really fast. Bug fix. All that stuff.
They called the exterminator.
I'm sure there's a lot more bugs in that game, though.
Yeah. But it is very playable now.
A lot more so than it has been.
It's a lot more stable than it has been in many years. Well, than it has ever been. to be truthful. You know, me personally, the only time I really had issues with it was whenever I was recording an achievement run, because the achievements would decide not to pop.
Oh, that sucks.
And, you know, finding a multiplayer game. Most of the other bugs that the game had either didn't bother me enough that I noticed them, or I just flat didn't have them.
Right. Yeah, because some of the bugs were only under certain really extreme circumstances, so not everyone saw them, but they still exist. So on to the known issues, just so people are aware and that they're aware. Campaign and playlist progress counters may read as 0 seconds across the board on initial launch. So that's basically like it didn't convert, I guess, the save data correctly or something. So once you kind of go in, it'll refresh it after you actually start the playlist again. Intelligent delivery prioritization can be lost if a console enters connected standby during install. Halo 4 Forge objects exposed to global light source may appear incorrectly. My power just flickered. That's scary.
Isn't that nice?
Well, at least my router and my computer is on ups.
That's good. So is mine.
Yeah.
But if the whole block goes down, I'm still screwed. Our main distribution node is on the same power grid as I am.
Oh, fun.
So if the main line goes down, it doesn't matter if I got UPSs. My computer will stay on, but there still won't be no network.
Yeah.
That happened to me a few months ago. I was in the middle of transferring my computer into a new case, and I'm about 10 minutes into it, and the power for the whole, like, 5-block area goes down.
Oh, no.
That means no internet, no nothing.
No lights.
Right. Luckily, I had lights hooked up to my UPS, so I still had light to work by. And I had a battery-powered floodlight, so I was able to get it put back together.
And hopefully the power came on soon after.
And I got it all put back together, and I had just enough power in the UPS to start the computer, make sure everything worked, and shut it back down.
There you go.
And then that was the end of the battery.
How big of a battery do you have?
It's about this big by this big. I don't know what the capacity of the battery is. It's not one of the small APCs. It's kind of one of their, you know, it's almost the size of a small computer.
Yeah. Okay.
Under full load, it will run my computer for a total of like 12 minutes.
So enough time for you to be like, oh crap, I need to save everything, shut everything down.
Yeah. But you know, it's also set to, you know, the UPS is also set down to auto kill the computer with 5 minutes to spare. You know, that way, you know, even if I don't get everything saved, I don't have to worry about corrupting my hard drives.
Yeah, I need to probably install the USB piece to a computer and then have that be a central place to send shutdown commands to everything. Might be a good thing to see if I can do that with my Raspberry Pi. That's for another day. Going down the update list still, we got some career stats do not update until the title is relaunched. Okay.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Corrupted install can occur through intelligent delivery installation. No, they just didn't fix that, I guess, fully, did they? That was one of the things that the insiders were trying to test, and I guess they kind of nailed down the majority reason of why it happened, but I guess it's still can happen, maybe just not as often. Aim sensitivity feels faster in the update compared to previous MCC retail. So probably like controller sensitivity detection, that kind of thing.
I did have to go through and readjust my sensitivity because it was a lot different.
Well, you might have to reset it again after they fix whatever that is there that's broken. So just remember what you changed, I guess.
Oh, it'll be pretty easy because I changed them all to be the same.
Oh, Very good. Players idling in match are not always automatically removed from the game.
Seen that.
Elites are not dual wielding in various campaign missions. Players with high ping times may be unable to find a game. Objects will pop in during the Halo 4 campaign. I've actually seen YouTube videos of people showing that off. Players can go out of sync when moving from mission to mission in Halo 2 co-op campaign when there is an original Xbox One hosting and an Xbox One X client. Oh, that bug's still there. Yay. That's a nasty bug.
Yeah, they're going to have to put on the Xbox One X or something. They're going to have to put in a load buffer or something. Jeez.
Yeah. It's funny because some of these bugs are just because of how the game was coded before.
Well, I mean, you know, on the original game or the original systems, all the systems were the same. So this particular problem you really didn't have to worry about because all the systems would load the information in the same amount of time. But the Xbox One X throws a little different twist in there because it has so much more processing power. It can load the information faster than your standard Xbox or an Xbox X. Yes.
Well, so this issue was even an issue when only the Xbox One originals were out. You could get out of sync with just two Xbox Ones, not even the X's or the Slims.
But I think that was more due to poor networking than...
Right, which they fixed that part now, but now we have this new thing. So it's all in the timing, it seems like, of loads. So it's, yeah, interesting stuff. Players may need to reacquire previously collected ODST audio logs before receiving achievements related to them. So if you had maybe 7 of the audio logs, if you were to collect 8 more new ones to get the whatever the halfway is, you might have to recollect all the previous ones in order for that to tick off.
Just go into the achievement and check your progress.
Yep. The rest of the bug fixes, there's probably about 200 of them you can go and read the update for, because that's going to take a long time to read through. And I'd rather not be up past midnight.
Me neither.
Moving on to Winging It. This is kind of one of Grimm's collection of updates. This was posted last week when we were off on Thursday. And I did talk with Grimm while I was at PAX. And the schedule is community update and community spotlight alternate on every Thursday. So 1 week it's community update and 1 week it's community spotlight, at least for now. And it's supposed to be released on Thursdays, which thank you, Grimm, for releasing the community spotlight more than an hour before the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
Gave me time to put it in the show notes.
Now that we've got the day, let's, you know, make sure that we have enough time.
Right.
At least 30 minutes for us to go through it before you dump it on us.
Yeah. Give us a little time to at least read through it, skim through it, pick out the good stuff. I actually got to watch both the videos on it, too.
Nice.
Yeah. I know. Crazy. So, going back to last week's, though, the community update. They touch on the release of the update for the Master Chief Collection and it coming to Game Pass. They talk about the Fireteam Raven, the That's So Raven post. So the first new thing on here is HCS London, which will be taking place not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. And they actually did kind of a drawing earlier this week. And the top teams that are going to be seen at London from the US will start is, or I guess North America, technically, Splice, Tox Gaming, Renegades, Reciprocity, Trifecta, and Accelerate Gaming. From the EU, we have Lucid, Invictus, Radiant Esports, and Mocket. From the Australian New Zealand region, we have Athletico. And from the Latin American region, we have Berserker Esports. And I'm going to give a shout out to our friends over at Bad at Halo Show, Mr. Tasman himself, and the folks over at HCS Pro Talk, who touch a little bit more in detail, especially the HCS Pro Talk guys, on the HCS. So they go over the roster changes, the 2K tournaments, which is the qualification points for MLG, and all the that other stuff. So they have a pre-land show. And they actually had Onset on their show a couple of weeks ago. I haven't listened to that podcast yet because of the whole PAX stuff. So I think I'm 2 or 3 episodes behind on them. But you should be checking them out if you're interested in more details about HCS. 135,000 US dollars is up for grabs at the Gfinity Arena in London. The first open LAN event, not in the North American region.
It's nice that they spread that around.
Yeah. They're slowly growing, which is nice. All the action will be taking place on Mixer and Twitch, probably their YouTube channel as well. So make sure you check them out. Mixer.com/Halo and Twitch.tv/Halo. The social streams are still going on. The past few that we haven't touched on, they had Adam Wong, who is the head of the transmedia division of Halo, which transmedia, or he's a senior producer, not the head. Kiki's the head. Senior producer for transmedia. So that includes everything that is outside the game. So books, TV shows, movies, shorts, all that kind of stuff. They had Postums, who's been one of the forefront community representatives of the MCC Insider program and the updates that they've been working on for the MCC Insider. And then yesterday, after PAX, they had DJ Blue, who's a fantastic friend of the show. Shout out to DJ. And they were on doing some Griffball shenanigans and talking about his streaming and all the fun that we had during Seattle. So you can check out all the VODs over on the Halo Mixer channel, mixer.com/Halo. Every single social stream is up there for you to view after the stream is done. For a playlist, Shoddy Snipers has joined Griffball in the social side, and I miss Warzone Turbo again. Can someone play the world's smallest violin for me? Thank you. yep, so I miss Turbo again. So it'll be another month before I get to play it, I guess.
Anybody want to place bets on if he makes it next week? Next time?
I probably won't. Unless it's the 29th, I think that's like the only free weekend I have. It wouldn't be this weekend, but the weekend of the 22nd, I'm camping. I don't think it'd be the weekend before. So if it's the 22nd, that's out. If it's the 29th, that would probably be like the only weekend I could make. If it's for September, be my guess. Halo Silent Storm has finally been released, and it is also available for order on Amazon and other retailers, so you can pick up that copy wherever you can find it, in bookstores or online. We did talk about the excerpt that was read by Steve Downes, and we talked about it on the last show. You can also pick up the audiobook as well over on Amazon and the Kindle version. There is a special video that Marty stumbled across going through his collection, and it is when Steve Vai was recording for the Halo 2 soundtrack all those, almost 15 years ago. Dang. That just dawned on me how long ago that was.
You were just a little kid.
Yeah. You know what's even more crazy? Being in the same room with Marty as we're watching this thing. Which, that's what happened on Monday night. So, Claude Herrera is regarded as the godfather of the Halo community. He's the founder of Bungie.org, which has sites for Myth, Oni, Halo, and Destiny. So it's basically a fan site for Bungie. And Claude hosts a barbecue, usually the last day of PAX, and he's been doing it for, at least I've been going to it for the past 3 years. Very generous, and his wife, Becky, is super sweet. They're wonderful to open up their house to the Halo community. It's about 20 to 25 people that show up every time. So he's just a really nice guy, and Becky is so sweet. as it was kind of getting the sundown, I guess a little after sundown, some of the folks were going to go in and do a Destiny raid, but one of the other, I guess not founders of HBO, but kind of one of the supporters, longtime supporters of Claude's. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but I am. He started watching the Vidoc, and a few of us were outside talking with Marty, and all of a sudden we kind of hear this, so we're all interested, and we go in and watch it. And for the next 20 minutes, we're just watching this with Marty. So it's a pretty surreal experience when you're watching Marty watching himself through this Vidoc. And he was saying how he was kind of giving us a little more in depth of what was going on at a certain time. And an interesting little tidbit, Steve Vai actually had a performance that he had to go to the same day after that performance for Halo 2. And Marty was apologizing, saying, "I'm sorry you had to do all this before having to go out on stage." He's like, "No, it was a great warm-up." So we got warm-up material for the Halo 2 soundtrack.
Nice. Yeah, just hearing him warm up would be awesome.
There is a little part in there at the very beginning of, I'll call it a Vidoc, of him kind of warming up a little bit, but then he just kind of jumps straight into this. And it's so cool. And I think I mentioned this last on the last show that we recorded together, but it's so cool to see how much of the like original takes, like there weren't any retakes pretty much for anything that Steve I was playing. It was just like, this is a piece and okay, it's they're adapting it and they're taking it. It's so cool to just see. It's like, no, this was all like first time go. Just he was going with what was headed and it just worked.
Yeah.
Flawlessly.
It works really well.
Yeah. Really, really surreal experience being in the same room as Marty and like, oh, okay, this is happening. And that was actually the first year Marty was at the barbecue. I wouldn't be surprised if he's there next year. I know Marty probably doesn't listen to this, but if you are, it was cool to hang out with you and hope to get to hang out with you more in the future. Pretty much wraps up the wing in it. There's one other little community spotlight, which kind of will lead us into the community spotlight for this week. Grim did shout out Halo Fans for Life 6th annual LAN Stravaganza that took place about a month ago, a little less than a month ago. So giveaways, food, pizza, all that fun stuff. So shout out to Halo Fan for Life over there. And moving into this week's community spotlight, we've got quite a bit of artwork. We've got a couple of videos. We've got some pretty cool cosplay reveals, Halo spotlight screenshot type of stuff, and something special at the end. So we'll get to that in a moment. Artwork. Lots of pencil drawings I've seen cropping up lately. There's, looks like, three of them in this set, which is pretty cool. There's a watercolor drawing of the Halo CE Chief. There's some Mega Bloks pictures that's kind of just a still shot of the elites or the Arbiter protecting the Kaidans, however you say that. We've also got a tattoo that was, I believe, actually designed. It's one that Wang Time or Pixel Flare has, but I think he actually designed it and then someone actually tattooed it on his arm or something. I actually got to see that one in person. And then Grim said, "You should tweet that out." And then so he did. So it made the spotlight pretty quickly. Some Warthog stuff. I'm not sure what the Tyco thing is on there, but the next one is someone doing cosplay of Master Chief, and it is a really legit suit. I think that's probably, this is done by Katharinda21. I'm guessing that's how you say it. And this is probably the best Master Chief that I've seen.
It does look really good.
Yeah. And a bunch of screenshots in the background, I guess it's was kind of green screen, but it's a lot of iconic Halo backdrops. Next up in the spotlight, we have back in the spotlight, Captain Halfjaw or Megavolt Service, who for Dr. Leo, who's a Griffballer, he designed an elite cosplay, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone was kind of blown away by it. And so it was made for Dr. Leo, and Dr. Leo was the one actually in the suit. And it is not easy to move around in.
Yeah, I'll bet not. It looks a little restrictive.
He is working on a version 2, or he will be. He said it might take him about 6 months to work on it. But I got a chance to see some preview shots of it. Peter was kind enough to send those along beforehand. I couldn't talk about it until the reveal. But it's probably... I think there have been elites done, but the legs weren't right because you know how the elites have the two knees, basically. So I believe this is the first cosplay that actually accounts for the double knee. And basically the boot is designed where the whole bottom leg piece after the second knee is part of the costume, and then the second knee is basically your ankle.
Yeah, it's pieced on a stilt.
Yes, that's the way I was looking for. Thank you. So yeah, the first quote-unquote legitimate, or I guess campaign or canon accurate elite cosplay.
Yeah, I've seen other costume makers do a similar trick by putting themselves up on stilts, you know, like when they, was it like the Alien series, I believe their legs work the same way.
Yeah.
You know, they have that double knee, so, or the knee that bends the wrong way, put that way. And it's really more of an elongated foot type deal. But it's really cool how they do it, and it makes it look legit.
Yeah. I want to do a quick shout out to Halo 3. That's his handle name on Twitch, but he just subscribed to our channel over on Twitch. So thank you for that subscription. Appreciate it.
Welcome to the fire team.
Yeah. The next thing up on the spotlight is a Forge piece, and it's just one thing, and it is, I actually saw this and tweeted it out before, but it's really cool. Being a Trekkie myself, someone has reproduced the bridge, the engine room, and Captain Picard's quarters on the Enterprise. And then there's a Borg cube outside the, I want to say cockpit because I can't think of
the bridge.
Thank you. My brain's not working tonight. Couple of videos. We have the Vengeful Vadam making a kind of quibby little machinima of a grunt taking over a prophet chair and just destroying everyone in the council chamber with a fuel rod cannon.
Yeah,
that was kind of interesting.
It was pretty good.
It was funny. I'm guessing they probably modded the game or modded Halo 2 Vista in order to kind of capture that, but it was still pretty funny.
Yeah. I watched that earlier this week, and that was hilarious.
It was good. Then there was a montage for Mint Blitz. I guess it's going to be his final montage, and the editing was okay. The clips are great. The editing was kind of mediocre to me.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it's almost 20 minutes long probably detracts from it.
A little bit. I stopped at 2 minutes short because I'm just like, I've seen enough.
Yeah. I think I made it 5 minutes in. All right, don't get me wrong. The stuff that he's pulling off is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, on a montage like that, one long song or two short songs is about the limit, you know, before it just gets repetitive.
You can kind of, like, if you get up to the 10-minute mark, that's where it kind of is like, okay, you can't really push it much more than that. And some of the clips that were edited were just too long. And some of the cuts just didn't feel right. A couple of highlight reel things. We have someone that tweeted out their experience with Fireteam Raven doing a Halo face. And then we also have someone getting a clutch beam rifle kill in Extermination. I guess a custom match of Extermination because it's end of round 41. But it was still pretty good nonetheless. The Halo Spotlight screenshots for this week, there are four of them. First one is looks like a pretty much an ODST style Spartan shooting a turret. We also have a screenshot of an Elite from Halo 2 Anniversary. A screenshot from Halo 5 with someone with the answer. And then some screenshots of a Fred Spartan assassinating a jackal?
Something like that?
Yeah. Okay. Killing Tom and killing jackals while I download the MCC update. And then at the very end, there's a mention of a Forza monthly stream that Halo will be taking place in. Yes, I know what it is. No, I can't talk about it. But that will be taking place on September 10th, which will be on Monday next week at 1 p.m. Pacific time. So tune in to mixer.com/Forza Motorsport and twitch.tv/Forza Motorsport to see how Halo is making its way into a new Forza feature in Forza Horizon 4 coming soon. And it's going to be worth checking out, I think. I think a lot of Halo fans, especially ones that enjoy race, will really like what they have to show off. So if you're a fan of Forza or just kind of like the Halo race mode in general, you'll want to check this out. There's some really cool stuff coming. I've only like heard what it is. I haven't actually seen what it is. So I've only kind of had the chance to imagine in my head. But from what I've been told, it might be one of those things where it's like, I might just have to buy Forza Horizon 4 just for the experience. Because that's everything. I buy Killer Instinct for it. I bought Rocket League for it. I didn't buy Bomberman. I think there was one other one I didn't buy. Regardless, September 10th, Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Check Forza Motorsport out on Twitch and Mixer for a very special announcement.
Can't wait to see what it is.
That's all I can say.
Unfortunately, I may have to look it up on YouTube after work.
I'm guessing the Mixer will have the video on demand. That's my guess.
Because, you know, firewall blocks Mixer, Twitch.
Surprisingly, at work, Mixer is not blocked. And they unblock Twitch. So I could watch it if I wanted to.
But I like, you know, they block Mixer and Twitch, but they don't block YouTube. They don't block Netflix. They don't block Hulu.
Right.
But they block radio station websites.
That doesn't make sense. Because that's just music. It's not nearly as distracting as watching videos. So that runs through all of the news articles that we have for Halo. Or at least Halo Waypoint specifically. There's a couple other things that is kind of Halo related, but not specifically on Halo Waypoint. This month for the Xbox Game Pass Quest, it is MCC related. And there is a grand prize of a custom Halo skinned Xbox One X. And it looks sweet.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind adding that to my collection.
Can we just buy it, please? Why can't we just buy it? Because, you know, I would shell out $500 for that in a heartbeat. And Melissa would probably let me. I'd probably trade in one of my other Xboxes, but still. So the quests for the Xbox Game Pass this month, and I believe you actually have to be a Game Pass member in order to be qualified for this, which kind of sucks. But there's three quests. So first one is to play 2 hours of the Master Chief Collection. Quest two is to complete 5 new achievements in the Master Chief Collection. And quest three is to increase your gamer score by 50 points. From What Sketch mentioned on Twitter earlier, if you have completed all the achievements on the Master Chief Collection, then Quest 2 is marked as complete. You won't have to worry about that. So you just have to play 2 hours of Master Chief Collection, and then that'd be like the only requirement other than having Game Pass to be eligible to win the Xbox. It would be cool if you could just buy it, though. 343. You would have a lot of Halo fans that would buy it. Just saying.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be as special.
I know, but
still. You never know. There could be a Halo Infinite box.
Yeah, but the rumors on that is going to be is on the next console, not the X.
Yeah. Well, the next console.
It's 2020, supposedly.
Our consoles are supposed to be able to play the new console games.
Correct. It's just the new console will have the hardware.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to see what deals there are come the holiday season and see if there's any bonus for trading in an Xbox One Original for an X. Because right now, I believe for GameStop Pro members, you get $200 credit for Xbox One Originals to use towards any like upgrade purchase. Or I think it's just credit, and then you can use the credit to buy an Xbox One X. So basically be able to get one for $300, and I'm guessing during the holiday seasons there's going to be a bonus, like maybe an extra $50 or something else. So I'm hoping once the holiday season comes around, I can just take my original Xbox and trade in for some credit and get an X out of it, and that way I can hook it up to my 4K TV.
Yeah, I won't be trading in any of my Xboxes. I'm definitely not getting rid of my Halo 5. I'm not getting rid of my X. The only other one is my Day One Edition, and I'm going to hang on to it, too. So,
well, that's the one I have, is the Day One Edition, but there's nothing special about the Day One Edition Xbox other than the controller that came with it. Otherwise, it's just a normal Xbox One. So, like, if it had Day One on it, then I would be more set in actually keeping it. But since it doesn't, I don't really care. And it's a 500 gig hard drive, which is limited storage anyways. I have 12 games on there and it's full. It is what it is. I will likely trade it in, though, come the holiday season. Very, very likely.
Well, eventually I'd like to put my collection of Xboxes on display.
That's why I have my 360, so I don't know if people can see it in the back of my room. Actually, my head's kind of in the way at the moment. Up in the top right corner of my bookshelf, I have my Halo 3 and Reach console, and they're kind of in the dark right now. There's lights on them, so I can, whenever I actually get that thing set up, I can turn lights on, and then they can shine in the background.
Actually, what I was thinking about doing is setting them up and then finding some small monitors, you know, like 6 or 10 inch HDMI monitors, and have, you know, the game screen loaded on that as a backdrop behind me for each console. Like, you know, Halo 3, have a Halo 3's loading screen up there. I still have one of my original Xboxes, put the Halo's CE loading screen up there. Same for my Reach console.
That's kind of cool. So you just turn the Xbox on for like that day, and then you just
Load start the game in. Yeah.
Very cool.
Just kind of, you know, as a neat little background.
Yeah. So there's the Halo 3 ODST Xbox. There's the Reach Xbox, the Halo 4 Xbox, the Halo CE Xbox, and the blue Halo 2 Xbox.
Mm-hmm. The original green one and the blue one are probably ones I will never be able to afford.
So the green one you can actually find on eBay for like $80.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's changed then, because the last
one I found was... two, 3 years ago when I bought those.
Yeah. Last time I looked, which was probably 6 months, they were about $350.
Oh. I guess the market has changed a lot since then.
But it could be that there was just a limited supply at that moment.
Possibly. Yeah, could be.
But my next collector Xbox is going to be the Halo 4 Xbox. I got to find one of those.
I wouldn't imagine that would be too difficult to find.
Well, I kind of picky about it. I'd like to find one that's still sealed in the box.
Ah.
Because I want the box, kicker. Too.
It is a nice box. The Reach box is a cool box. Except the mover is
still, on you the know, I still have box. All the boxes for my collector consoles. You know, I've got the one the Halo 5 box came in. I've got one my Scorpio edition came in. I've got my Reach one, and I've got. I think I still have an Elite box.
Oh dang!
I mean,
the only boxes I have are the Halo 5 legendary one, the Halo 3 legendary one, Halo Reach legendary one. I don't have the Halo 4 legendary box, but I think it was just a simple box.
Back there in that corner, I have three of the boxes. I've got the Halo 5 Legendary Collection, the Halo 5 console, and I believe my Reach box is back there, too.
Okay.
Hiding behind my pieces of plywood and my fan.
Very nice.
Which are strategically placed behind my head.
Yeah, it'll be reorganizing for both of us once we finally get things set up.
Well, first thing I have to do is build some bookshelves. Because I've been shopping for bookshelves and I cannot find anything that I like.
What are you looking for? Because I actually just bought four of them from Walmart and they were $40 a piece.
Yeah, Walmart doesn't have anything that I would trust to put consoles on.
Oh, okay. Because the shelves I bought are just for like my Mega Bloks pieces.
Yeah. If I was putting Mega Bloks up there, okay. But consoles, no.
Yeah, you want something sturdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, I just got to get off my butt and actually go buy the wood and build the ones that I want. The only thing I really don't, I have a problem with is finishing wood. I'm not a big fan of actually applying stains and stuff like that.
It can be a little tricky.
It's one of those future projects that I just need to get off my butt and do. I took a big step towards being able to do that tonight. I've got a old Ford pickup that has been DOA for the last 10 years ish, and I made it run tonight, and because I had to replace the engine, and I got the initial break in done. So now that it's running, it can be moved without having to find somebody to push it.
Right.
Or find somebody to drive it while I push it. You know, there's nothing like pushing 3 tons of steel around your driveway.
Yeah. That's not fun.
And if you come by one of my personal streams and you ask, I'll show you the first start fail.
Fair enough. Couple of other things to touch on for tonight. There is the Spirit Halloween sweepstakes for Halo. That's still going on. They're still accepting sweepstakes entries. So if you head on over to, spirithalloween.com/sweeps, you can enter to win $10,000 in the Halo sweepstakes. And if you register, you can get 20% off a single item from Spirit Halloween.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty nice. You enter in, they win 10 grand, and you also get 20% off a single item. And it's good for, I believe they have probably the Master Chief costume stuff, and I'm guessing Cortana? Maybe?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't have their Master Chief costume in my size.
I'm checking now to see if they do select. Nope. It only goes up to extra large. And I'm pretty sure that extra large probably wouldn't even fit me.
Yeah, that extra large is probably a large for most people. Costume sizing is always just a little bit off.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I got all pumped up and I was going to go buy me some t-shirts from the Halo store. And they had one t-shirt that was big enough to fit me.
Aw.
And I didn't even like it.
That's unfortunate.
So, Halo, bigger shirt sizes, please.
You talk to James, Nick, and John about that.
I mean, you've got plenty of big guys that work for you. Bigger shirts.
Yeah.
I didn't say fat. I just said big.
Bigger. Yep. I know what you're talking about. There's also...
Me, I'm fat, but no.
I'm fat too, so it goes around. There's also, at Spirit Halloween, since I'm kind of searching, plasma pistol, plasma rifle, and energy sword that you can get as well.
Cool.
Yeah. I might actually buy the plasma rifle and the plasma pistol and the sword. And they're just decorative pieces. They're not functioning or anything like that. They're just props.
Something neat. Yeah, something neat to just set on the shelf.
Yeah, for sure. So again, spirithalloween.com/sweeps to enter in for 10K. There's also, in the community side of things, the Forge Hub 4v4 Forge Contest, which I think we touched on before, but I don't remember if we did or not. This is a 4v4 forging contest, which has $500 up for grabs. The submissions are due by September 30th, and they will be judged on 6 distinct characteristics. Gameplay, balance, readability, which I thought was weird. Interactions, aesthetics, and quality assurance. These cannot be remakes of existing maps. They have to be new maps, and they must work with the official Team Arena game type that is built into the game. More information about that is over on the announcements section in the Forge Hub forums. You want a link for that contest? I will give you a link to that contest, Misa Red. I'll give it to you in Twitch, and I will give it to you in Mixer. There you go. For those that are fans of Arby and the Chief, Machinima has kind of, after community demand, given in to John Graham, who is the creator behind the series, the permissions to re-upload his videos. So one of the things that Machinima has been notoriously known for is if you're a partner with them, they basically own exclusive rights to your content. And I believe at one point they were pulling down videos from his series without warning or reason. So the community has been up in arms about John having, I guess, like creative rights over his content. So they finally caved in and they've cleared him to re-upload his videos. So fans of RB and the Chief will have a place to actually watch that. And in the tweet, it sounds like he said that they're allowing him to re-upload it to Machinima, I guess. He says, re-upload Arvin the Chief to my channel. I don't know if he's talking about his YouTube channel or if he's re-uploading to Machinima. I'm hoping it's YouTube.
Yeah, I think what the deal is he's going to re-upload him on his own personal channel.
On YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So yeah, great community support behind that, and I think a great thing for the community to stand behind. So I know we don't know John. We should probably try to get him on the podcast at some point because
wouldn't be a bad idea.
It's a pretty well-known series.
Yeah.
I guess I might try to reach out to him as a potential guest. And see if he wants to maybe give him some time to kind of some breathing room or something, but
probably would be good. Let things settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm listening to my cat crunch on his dinner. I can hear him eat his food through my headphones.
That's weird because I can't hear it at all.
I'm surprised that nobody in the stream can't hear this cat eating his cat food.
Skype is pretty good about ducking those background noises. That's actually one of the nice things that Skype does.
Well, see, the deal is the audio the stream's hearing is not going through Skype.
That's true, but that also can be edited in post. Just saying.
Kind of made me wonder if my wife had stuck some jawbreakers in there this morning or something. Anyway, back to Halo stuff.
Yes. So, congrats, John. I know you probably don't listen, but in case you do, it's awesome to see the community rally behind you and get things done to make sure that you have maintained creative right over everything that you've worked so hard on.
I really enjoyed watching the episodes. I haven't watched them in a while because I kind of lost track of them, but I will definitely hunt them down again and watch them.
Likewise. For the loot crate, more delays, as many subscribers to the Halo Loot Crate are very familiar with at this point. And they have not announced a new theme either, which is kind of odd because they usually have been very on top of announcing the new theme. So what's the dealio?
I don't know.
No idea what's going on.
Yeah, I'd kind of be interested to see the numbers on the Halo crate and really see how good or bad it's done.
We haven't gotten an update about that in a while. I know after the first year, they said that they actually got more subscribers than they were anticipating. But to your point, maybe people dropped off for the second year. Maybe like people bought the first year and they weren't happy with it, so maybe the second year wasn't as good.
Yeah, I don't know. Be interesting to see what happens with it. I hope they continue it because it's kind of a neat way to get some Halo gear without spending a fortune.
Yeah, I personally like it because they advertise it's over $60 worth of stuff for $35, which take it with a grain of salt, but typically,
the t-shirts they put in there, they're good quality t-shirts. I mean, they're not the cheap ones that, you know, you get at concerts and stuff, you know, that they give away. These are decent t-shirts. My wife loves them. I can't wear them. They're too small.
Which I believe you actually talked to Loot Crate about that, right?
Need bigger sizes, people. Anyway, you know, I understand they have to keep costs down for those crates so that they can actually still make money on them. But yeah, you know, the t-shirts have been good. The little bits of lore that they put in them have been really good. Reading those classified files is really entertaining. The box art is absolutely crazy when it comes to the inside of the boxes. You know, some of the stuff isn't the highest quality stuff, but it's kind of neat. You know, I like my grenade coffee mug. I have my grunt in my grenade coffee mug.
Aw, very nice.
I figured plasma grenade, grunt, they probably go together.
Yeah.
I couldn't get him to hold it, so.
I haven't figured out how to display the box art what I want to do with tough. It.
Because you know, a box really...
It's oddly shaped, so and the
you
whole,
can't really put it in a frame and hang it on the wall.
No, and even with the odd shapes in the box, the whole shape of the box is used, so you can't just like cut off pieces, or else it looks even more weird than it does if you're just putting the flat box on the wall. So, trying to visualize how I would do that. I mean, I guess I have a couple of walls I could try it on. I could put it on my wall that I'm thinking I'm putting my armory on. Could probably do that. But that's just one of those, like, okay, what the heck do I do with this? It's cool art, but it's not very convenient.
Well, it wasn't designed to be displayed.
But it's cool art.
I know. Currently, all my boxes are still holding their contents, minus the t-shirts.
Hmm. Mine are sitting underneath the futon. They're all flatly laid out, and they're down there.
Yeah, they're back there, too. Matter of fact, you can see one of them sticking above my head occasionally.
Is that the stack?
That's the stack, yeah.
My
it
stack.
Actually used to be taller than that, but somebody decided they wanted to climb it, and I came home and found it in the middle of the floor one night.
That's good.
You funny. Saw that person over my left shoulder there a little bit ago going crunch, 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 crunch.
So yeah, boxes with art don't work too well.
No.
Last thing I have on the show notes is just to remind everyone to check out thehalohub.com. I recently included a stats tracking mechanism and leaderboard for the duel mechanic. And Virgil is vicious. Virgil does not mess around. I even reworked the logic behind how it determines the wins and whatnot. It's still vicious. It's Virgil is not Virgil the forgiving has not type.
Been kind to me lately. I think out of the last, 10 or 20 tries, I've gotten two wins.
I think Virgil hates everybody. I don't know what. So, long point down the road, my plans for Virgil regarding dueling is to integrate in with your stats on Waypoint and then use your KD average to kind of weigh the outcome, whether it's going to be a victory or a defeat.
Oh, then I'm never going to win.
I said weigh it, not necessarily dictate it. So right now it's supposed to be 60-40. It's supposed to be 60% chance of victories, 40% chance of defeats. For some reason, I'm still seeing a lot more defeats than victories, but maybe that's because the defeats are more infuriating. Regardless, looking at that as being one weight, but then looking at like the types of kills, like how many vehicle kills you have, how many power weapon kills you have, how many standard weapon kills you have, all that kind of stuff, and maybe like legendary medals or mythic level medals, and have that kind of weigh the outcome that Virgil gives you. So there's still randomness involved with it. So you could still get power weapon kills if maybe you're more heavily favored towards vehicle kills and splatters and that kind of thing. But it's just a little more kind of customizing Virgil to be more relevant to your playstyle based on your statistics.
I have to admit,
really long out, but it's a goal.
Virgil definitely has weighted himself towards splatters.
I also need to check the random function in Node.js because the vehicles are the ones that are in the middle. So I believe the standard weapon kills, I think it's 39%. And then after that, it's like 20-something percent for the power weapon kills. I have the source code here that I'm looking at right now. 40% for standard. Oh,
there we go. I got a light rifle kill.
There you go. There's a standard one.
Sorry, Misa.
So standards are 40%. Power is 25%. Vehicle is 20%. Legendary is 10%. And mythic is 5%. And that all adds up to 100%. So victory and defeats are dictated separately. Separately from what kind of victory or defeat. So victory or defeat is determined first, and then the category is determined second in the current iteration of Virgil. So that's a long time down the road type of thing. The other thing that I'm looking to implement shorter term is a community calendar. So people will be able to submit events to tournaments, contests, Forge is looking for groups, regular streams, open lobbies, that kind of stuff. And then mods or admins can approve it. And then it'll basically be a community calendar that Virgil can keep track of. There'll be a daily digest and a weekly digest of them. And they'll also tie into a website. And that'll probably take me about 2 or 3 months to create. Possibly more.
Probably. And then we get to redesign the Podtacular website, right?
So I talked with South. He was the one I originally talked with 2 years ago about redoing the site, and he actually wants to redo the site. So we're actually going to talk probably this weekend or next weekend. I've already given him some ideas on what I want to do. We might end up moving away from WordPress and going towards React, which is a JavaScript-based content management system instead of using WordPress. React can also use the WordPress backend and just use the API to display it. So we might not have to totally get rid of WordPress, but it will give us more power to do some custom stuff in the the display layer. So that is something that we are going to start pushing heavy in the next couple of weeks.
Well, good.
Yeah, so we just need to brainstorm on, okay, he needs to capture my requirements of what I want the website to be and how I want it to function and that stuff, and then he can start modeling it in React and come up with some prototypes.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And then at some point, I will get to Wing Time, the stuff that I need for all of the stream assets, the bumper videos, and all that stuff too. So that I'm hoping by the time the end of the year rolls around, we'll have at least one or two of those things done and really start to revamp the Podtacular visual experience, both on stream, on the website, and maybe even a couple of podcast changes. Small changes, but significant changes. That's the idea anyways.
Yeah, maybe we can get these cameras to work the first time.
That would be nice. That'd be really nice.
Not a half hour into the show.
Yeah, we'll work on that this weekend because it's just frustrating. Super frustrating. So that is the Halo Hub. You can find out more over at thehalohub.com. And that will wrap it up for the show tonight.
That's good because I'm out of water now.
It's been a while since we've had a show that's longer, significantly longer than an hour.
Yeah.
Because we're almost up to 2 hours on this recording, which once it kind of gets compressed, it'll be down probably towards an hour 45. So lots of good things to talk about.
Yeah.
That just means next week might not be as much.
Stay tuned till next week when we have the short show. Oh,
right. We know we'll have the Forza thing to talk about, so that'd be cool. I imagine us talking maybe at least 15 minutes on that. And...
oh, I'm sure we can stretch that into an hour.
I'm sure we could if we wanted to. Let's not make it the goal, though.
Because well, it all depends on what else there is.
That's true. I guess with that said, make sure you check us out on our social networks. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, and we have our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club. For our streams, we are streaming on Twitch and Mixer and Facebook and YouTube for the podcast. Podcast streams are every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and hopefully we can start on that so we don't have troubleshooting camera issues. Try to figure that out this weekend. We also have our Fragment Fridays, which is hosted by GT, and that happens every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. After the podcast, I will put a poll out, so for those that are listening live, you'll see it. For those that are listening afterwards, depends on whether or not we try to do MCC for next week, so we might try to pull up a poll earlier on, but if you've seen it and we played MCC, then people voted for MCC. If not, then we play Halo 5. And that's that. You can also check us out on our Spartan Company. We have plenty of spots available. And a quick update on where we are on commendations. We are getting close to the perfect kills. We have another, looks like about 730 to go on getting precision weapon kills without missing. Next closest to are Spartan melees, which we need another 2,500. And killing the enemy Spartan when your health is low and you survive, we need another 2,700? Yeah, something like that. So those are the close ones. And then the ones all the way at the bottom are the two that we always love to talk about, killing Marines and shoulder bashes. So there's a quick update on our Spartan Company commendations. You can head on over to podtacular.com/company to request to enlist. And I think we have 18 or 17 slots open. So plenty of space for you to join up. Also, make sure you check us out on our podcasting network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, which includes Guardian Radio, Critscast, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about each one of those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. Another couple of streams I have on Tuesday, streaming campaign with my wife, going through the Halo CE campaign. We'll be playing Two Betrayals this coming Tuesday. And I have my achievement streams that I will be restarting on Sunday that I'm going to do something on MCC. I don't know if it's going to be par score or par times yet. Those are still two of the collections of achievements I need. So I know those are going to be pretty easy to get. So that's what I'm going to focus on for the time being. GT, did I miss anything?
If you did, I missed it too.
Okay. I finished Glasslands.
Good.
I'm on the Thursday war. I am four chapters in the Thursday war.
Yeah, I'm four chapters into another book.
Thanks. Hey, I'm making progress though, so there is that. Albeit slow progress, but progress nonetheless. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks for joining up. We had quite a few viewers tonight and one new subscriber, which is awesome. And a few new follows. So thank you everybody for tuning in. We will see you all either on our remaining streams throughout the rest of the week, or if not, then we'll see you back here next Thursday. Thanks to everyone who are downloading us. Please leave us a review on iTunes. I promise I'll get around to them at some point on the show. Last time I checked, we didn't have anything new, so I just need to go back and check again. But please go leave us a review on iTunes. It helps get the word out about the show. And we will see you all next week. Go in to MCC. Have some fun. And keep on fragging them trucks.
Blow stuff up!